My lords, my ladies, gentlemen, girls, anyone, all of yous, we present The London Vertigo by Brian Friel. The witch play is based upon...
The True-Born Irishman by Carl McLaughlin.
A drama which also answers to the name The Irish Fine Lady by Mr. Charles Macklin, Esquire.
You can't say Mr. and Esquire.
Call me Count, then. Count Mushroom. Mush to my friends.
Will you hush the laurier? Dubliners, Irish men and Irish women. The London Vertigo by Brian Friel. Mr. O'Doherty, sir. Mr. O'Doherty.
Yeah. What is it?
Your brother-in-law gives his compliments to you, Mr. O'Doherty.
Yes, Kelly. Yes.
A Councillor Hamilton, the barrister.
Yes.
He gives his compliments to you, sir.
Oh, splendid, Kelly. Thank you.
He's on his way upstairs.
What's that you have in your hand?
A card for my mistress from Madame Mulrooney.
Pray, let me see it. Mrs. Mulrooney makes her compliments to Mrs. Murrow O'Doherty and likewise to Mr. Murrow O'Doherty and hopes to have the favour of their company on Sunday 17th instant to play at cards, sup and spend the evening with Count Mushroom, Lady Kinnegad, Lord Ballybeg, Captain Kilmaine, Major Bellahy, Lady Belmullet. Here, Catty, take this to your mistress. I have nothing to say to it.
Very well, Mr. O'Doherty.
Mrs. Mulrooney. Listen, she's another of the fine ladies of this country who, like my wife, is sending her soul to the devil and her husband to jail as fast as she can. Mr. Mulrooney, the boob, has scarce £1,000 a year in the world, yet he spends above £2,000 in equipage, in other words, on a carriage and servants, on jolly parties and high living. Besides what his fool of a wife loses to that female sharper, my Lady Kinnegad, which, if I may judge by my own wife, is at least a good 2,000 more. So that, by the rule of subtraction, take £4,000 a year out of £1,000, and in a very little time nothing will remain but the jail, or a fast packet boat to France. Money, money. They think it grows on trees, these women.
Mamma, I'm extremely glad to see you.
By my faith, and so am I, you too, Tomo. You are most welcome, brother-in-law. And Zooks, give us a kiss, man. Oh, I give you my honour. I'm as glad to see you in Dublin at this juncture as I should be to see 100 head of fat bullocks upon my own land all ready for Ballinasloe Fair.
That is a great compliment from you, brother. Fat bullock, curious image.
A very true compliment, I assure you. All beef, no brains.
And I see by the newspapers that my sister is returned from the coronation frolics.
George the Third.
September the 22nd, 1761.
London.
England.
God bless his Majesty. She has returned with a vengeance.
What's the matter?
Returned with a distemper that will soon affect the whole nation. It is called the Irish Fine Lady's Delirium, or the London Vertigo.
London Vertigo? What may that be?
Oh, the devil and inhabitant in Jonathan Swift's Hospital for Lunatics is in a worse pickle than she is.
Opened in Dublin here 4 years ago. He gave the little wealth he had to found a house for fools and mad.
If you were to hear her when the fit is upon her, oh, she is as mad. The devil a thing in this poor country but what gives her the spleen and the vapours. Then such a frenzy of admiration for everything in England. And among the rest of her madness, she has brought back with her a new language. A new kind of London English that is no more like our Irish English than a fine gilded carriage is like a Carrickmore cart. What name do you think she went by when she was in England?
What do you mean?
What did she call herself over there?
What would she call herself but Nancy O'Doherty?
Oh, Doherty! Upon me honour, Tom, she startles when she hears the name O'Doherty and blushes and is much ashamed as if a man said something bawdy to her. Oh, no, 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 my friend. My wife, your sister, is no longer the plain, modest, good-natured, domestic, obedient Irish Mrs. O'Doherty. In other words, the perfect wife. But the travelled, rampant, high-lifed, prancing English Mrs. Diggerty.
Diggerty?
Diggerty! Was there ever such impertinence? Nor is that all of your sister's whims and madnesses.
There is more.
She wants me to go after a title. Huh? Can you imagine? Young Lord Turnabout has hinted to her that if I throw my weight behind him in the coming election, a title is mine for the asking. And that piece of information has stirred up such a rage of quality and title in her giddy head that I cannot rest night or day for her importunity.
Good heavens!
She would have me desert my friends and sell myself, my honour, and my country.
Sell my country? He really means it would cost him money.
Sell my country, as several others have done before me, so that she may sink the ancient name of O'Doherty in the upstart title of Lady Ahole, or Lady Culmore, or some such ridiculous nonsense. Oh, Tom, I have many grievances to tell you of, but I have one that is even more whimsical than all the rest.
Tell me.
I am going to be a cuckold.
My sister? Your wife? You mean she's going to...
There is an English coxcomb just arrived among us in this town who thinks every woman that sees him is in love with him.
Who is this spark?
His name is Mushroom, as in Mushroom. Morris Mushroom. The Count Morris Mushroom.
And he lives here, this cuckold maker.
You know those huge estates owned by Lord Oldcastle?
On which your family for generations have had long and profitable leases.
The same. Is the boob getting saucy?
And have sublet at enormous profit to much less fortunate Irishmen.
Indeed he is. Well, my Lord Oldcastle has made this Mushroom his agent in this country and sent him over to settle his affairs here. Now, one of the main businesses he must conclude is an agreement between Oldcastle and me on the terms of the leases. And Mushroom and I not being able to agree on the terms... What does the coxcomb do?
You and he disagree.
Noodle brain. What he does is this, Tom. He sends my wife a warm bidou, in which he very gallantly tells her that she shall settle the leases at her own price, only upon the trifling condition that he may be permitted now and again to be the occasional lord of her ladyship's matrimonial manner.
So he just wants occasional lodgings here, Mother?
In a manner of speaking, yes. Close to genius, wouldn't you say?
That is trifling indeed.
Do you think so? Himself, his sister, all the Hamiltons, mahogany heads.
And pray, what says my sister to all this?
Oh, she knows nothing of it.
But she got Mushroom's letter, did she not?
I intercepted it, with the help of Catty Farrell. And with Catty's assistance, I have carried on a correspondence with the fellow in my wife's name. Unknown to her, of course. And by that means, I shall not only detect and expose the fellow, but get an excellent bargain of the leases, which are sure to be signed this very day.
But, Mother, you couldn't accept the leases upon those terms.
Could I not? And he's a barrister. Question is, how did the noodle ever qualify?
Forging letters in my sister's name. Lord Counterfeit.
Of course, he'd never make a living anywhere else but at the law.
And involving decent Catty Farrell in his corruption. Oh, no wonder Mammy always hated him.
Sir, Count Mushroom is below.
I will wait upon him, Catty. Now, brother, You shall see one of the pertest and most conceited, impudent coxcombs that has ever been imported into this land, or that disgraced humanity.
My compliments to your lady, Mrs. Caddy. I will be with her in the twinkling of a star.
Do you hear?
Or in less time than a single glance of her own immortal beauty can pass to the centre of an amorous heart.
Oh, control, Morrow O'Doherty, control.
My dear Diggity, I kiss your hand. I am come on purpose to discuss the leases that you and I... I beg 10,000 pardons, I see you are busy.
Oh, indeed, Count, we are not. Tom Hamilton, my wife's brother, Count Mushroom.
Sir, I feel a superlative happiness in being known to you.
Uh-huh.
I have long expected and long wished for it with a lover's appetite.
Ooh.
Therefore, without waiting for the dull advocation of experience or the pedantic forms of ceremony, I beg you will honor me with a niche in your esteem. And register me in the select catalogue of your most constant and most ardent friends and admirers.
That's right.
And he'll be a judge someday.
Give me a hand, Hamilton. It's Tom, isn't it? Yes, it's Tom. Give me a hand, dear Tom Hamilton. You are Diggity's friend. Diggity is my friend. I... am Diggity's friend. So it follows that you and I are destined to be friends, since friends of friends must naturally be friends too. But that's enough. I'll serve you. Say no more. I'll serve you. Rely upon me, friend.
You live in this town, Count?
Yes, quite en famille. I go about everywhere. I'm of no party but those of love, pleasure, and gallantry. The women like me and commend me at cards, tea, scandal, and dancing. The men commend me at jolly parties, a late hour, a bottle, and hazard.
A hazard. In other words, dice. You know, a small cube having its faces marked with spots numbering from...
They know, Tom, they know.
I love ease, hate ceremony, and am at home wherever I go. Correct, Diggity.
To give you your due, Count, you are never bashful in any place.
Bashfulness, dear Diggity, is a mask of ignorance, a disease of the vulgar and uncourtly, what we men of the world are never infected with. But to business, my friend.
Business?
The leases, Diggity. Lord Oldcastle's leases.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Cards on the table, my friend. My lord is loath to lose you as a tenant, just as I am convinced it would be for his interest that you should have the land.
Yes.
So, let us sign and seal at once, upon your own terms. For really, I think tenants in Ireland want encouragement. They are racked too high, they are indeed. It is a shame they should be racked so high. You want encouragement in trade, too.
Ah.
Tax concessions, greater incentives, relief in exports, that sort of thing. Oh, I'll speak to some people of consequence about it on the other side, yes.
On the other side of what?
London, Tom, London.
Yes. Will you?
Yes, upon my honour, the moment I return.
And you English politicians promise us the devil and all while you were among us. But the moment you get to the other side, you have devilishly bad memories.
Yeah. You seem to like Ireland, sir.
A damn fine country, Tom. Upon the whole, take you all together, you're a damned honest Tory Rory, rantum scantum, dancing, singing, laughing, boozy, jolly, friendly, fighting, hospitable people. And I like you mightily.
You see, nothing changes, does it?
Oh, I do upon honour. And I believe I shall marry one of your women here, grow domestic, and settle among you.
Uh-huh.
But I beg pardon, my dear Diggity. I must rob you of my company for a moment to pay my duty to your lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamilton, yours, yours. Give me thy hand, Diggity. From this moment, set me down as thy unalterable friend. I'll serve you. Rely upon me. I'll serve you. And now to try my hand at casual lodgings. A bed and perhaps a board.
Didn't I tell you? There never was so conceited and so impudent a coxcomb as that puppy. Cathy, is your fine mistress dressed yet?
The mistress, or she has had a little misfortune, sir.
Oh, speak up, Cathy. No secrets here.
You know that bill that came from Covent Garden from the mercer there?
In other words, the waper.
I gave her the money for that 2 days ago, Cathy.
Lost it all last night to Lady Kinnegad.
My God, all?
Play and brag.
A kind of poker that's played with... She played brag with that sharper.
And to cover up her excesses, she's going to borrow from Count Mushroom.
And what collateral has she? Don't answer that.
Oh, Mother! The woman has lost all sense of shame.
She is not to borrow from Mushroom, Catty. Here, 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 here. Give her this.
Yes, sir.
Say you borrowed it from your brother, from a friend. Say you... Aha, my dear.
Brother... I'm beastly glad to see you.
Welcome home from England, Nancy.
I am immensely obliged to you, brother.
Did it answer your expectations?
Ravishingly.
Indeed.
Transcendently.
I'm glad.
Beyond all degrees of comparison. England, brother. England is just vast, immense, ecstatic. I never knew life before. Everything there is high, tip-top, the grand monde, the bon ton.
Bon? Tom.
And quite tasty.
She liked it.
And London?
London? The place of the world, brother.
And then this town, I suppose.
This town? Where? I forgot. What is the name of this place?
Dublin.
Dublin. Oh, that's it. Oh, dear brother. London, Dublin. Don't name them together. After London, everything I set my eyes on here gives me the ennui and the contre-cure.
Contre-cure?
The streets, I mean. The houses dirty, the people ridiculous, and the women. None of the nonchalancy, none of that Jenny C. Coy we have in London.
Jenny C. Coy?
And everything sounds so strange here. Everybody talks so peculiar. I scarcely understand them. Even the very dogs, when they bark, I swear, they bark with a brogue.
As strong a brogue as your mother, Madge Gallagher, from Donegal Town, ever had.
You are a very rude man to remind me of my mother's family. You know I always despised my mother's family. Didn't I, brother? I hate the very name of... What was my mother's name?
Gallagher.
That's it. Gallagher. Hate it.
Tell us about the coronation, sister. No doubt you were there.
There? Oh, mon Dieu. Quelle question. Ask the Count.
Oh, yes. She was everywhere and with everybody. The court never stirred without her.
But the highlight of the visit was the feast in Guildhall. That was just immense. I went to it with Her Grace, a friend of mine, and a Pertie of the court, as one of the household. Was it the coronation itself? I was so brilliant that night at the coronation ball that the Count was moved to write a poem about me.
Oh, heavens, madam.
It's true. And he is one of the prettiest poets we have in England, or, for that matter, in what's the name of this?
Ireland.
Ireland, that's it. Oh, he is, by my honour.
I don't doubt the gentleman's talents in the least.
No, you are most polite, sir, and the lady is pleased to rally.
In other words, to banter.
My muse is but a smatterer, a slattern, a mere slipshod lady.
What I say is true. And to convince you of his worth, will you be so obliging as to read them to my brother?
The nod of beauty sways both gods and men, and I obey. Gentlemen, the title will at once let you into the whole of what you are to expect in this little production. An extempore on the famous Mrs. Diggater dancing at court.
Hallelujah!
Oh, God.
Now, attend. When beauteous Diggater leads up the dance in fair Britannia's court, then every heart is in a prance, and longs for Cupid's sport.
Cupid's sport? Oh, naughty, naughty.
Bows ogle and pant and gaze. Bells envy and sneer, yet praise. As Venus herself were there.
Venus? Oh, can't.
And prudes agree it must be she.
Must be Venus herself.
It must be she or Digite. It must be she or Digite or Digite the fair. That's it, gentlemen. A slight effort of the muse, a mere jeu d'esprit.
My Lady Kinnegad and my Lady Bell Mullet have arrived, Mrs. O'Doherty.
Who is that creature addressing? Nobody of that name here, my dear.
I want to sign those leases now, Count. Now. I'll await you downstairs. Come with me, Catty. I want a word with you.
With all my heart, Tiggerton.
You'll return later this evening, Count, won't you? I'm having some titled friends in for cards.
Do I breathe? Do I exist? I will but step down, sign the papers, and return tonight on the wings of inclination. Ma chère belle, sans adieu.
Oh, au revoir. Oh, then every heart is in a prance. Isn't he the most humorous creature, Tom?
Most.
And mighty witty. Don't you think so?
Mighty.
And longs for Cupid's sport. Oh, and so do I. Oh, brother, brother, you are looking at a transported woman. A jux.
Compared with her, the inhabitants of Swift's Hospital for Lunatics are marvelously sane. Oh, the poor woman. She is very far gone and must be pinched to the quick and shall this very night. Thank heaven our mammy has passed on. Bon ton, wowie towie, wantum scantum. What do those words mean? Must ask Miller, the old Doggerty, the old Mora, the old Diggity, oh God!
You must listen to reason.
Reason? Reason? I will have no reason, Mr. Diggity. There can be no reason against what I say. Oh, you are the strangest man. Not to be a lord. I insist upon it, sir. There is a necessity for a peerage.
Well, show me the necessity, then, and all my objections will vanish.
Why, sir, I am affronted for want of a title.
Oh.
A parcel of upstarts. With their crownets upon their coaches, their chairs, their spoons, their handkerchiefs, nay, on their very knockers.
She means on their doors.
Creatures that were below me but t'other day are now truly my superiors, and have their precedency, and are set above me at table.
Come, 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 Ned, don't be in such a fluster.
Can there be anything more provoking to a woman of my taste and spirit than to hear the titles of these ugly creatures bawled in one's ear on every occasion?
Oh, heavens above.
My Lady Kinnegad's coach here. My Lady Balmullet's chair there. My Lady Ahol's chariot here. And what are they all? Upstarts. Upstarts with titles. And then consider how vile my name sounds.
Oh, there she goes again.
Mrs. Diggerty's servants here. Mrs. Diggerty's chair there. Mrs. Diggerty's coach here. Oh, it's mean. It's beggarly. I can't bear it. The very thought of it makes me ready to burst my stays. It almost throws me into a stage.
Oh, no, me dear, don't work yourself up into a fit.
Oh, my life is miserable. But I see your design.
Design?
You have a mind to break my heart. Oh, yes, you argue and contradict me for no other end. You do everything to fret and vex me.
What does that mean?
Ever since I returned from England to this
Ireland.
That odious name. Ever since my unhappy return, I have been requesting, begging, praying that you would send to London for a set of long-tailed horses that you know I admire so much.
Have you any idea of the cost?
Lady Bellybeak has a set. Lady Kilmaine has a set. Lady Newry has a set. You know very well I detest a short tail. Don't we all? Every lady of figure loves long tails. Nobody but doctors, lawyers, and country merchants have short tails now.
Very well, my dear, very well. You will have tails as long as Lord Newry or Lord Bellybeak or whoever. As to the title, if it can be had...
You know it can be had. Just open your tight purse. Let me hear no more about it. For a title I will have. I can't bear being plain Mrs. Diverty any longer.
Is Mrs. O'Doherty ill, sir?
Very ill, with distemper. Well, Catty.
Everything's in hand, sir.
The house is empty.
Yes, sir.
Her card friends all gone.
Everybody's left, sir. They promised to return in an hour.
Good, good. And Mushroom?
He got out of his carriage at the gate and crept back to the house.
And where is he now?
In the back parlour. Dressing himself in my lady's clothes.
That you provided?
On your instructions, sir.
Shh, I know, I know. How did you persuade him?
I told him if he were sighted, he would pass as a laundry woman. You never saw a man, a woman, so eager, so...
Oh, please, Catty.
Boosted with expectation, in a manner of speaking.
Oh, Catty, please.
He's 10 times fonder of himself as a woman than he was as a man, if that's possible.
Oh, I'll cure him of his passion for himself and for all Irish women as long as he lives. Oh, here comes her brother. Let us get out of their way.
Yes, sir.
For he is resolved to startle the lady and waken her, if possible. Oh, they will have a very sharp brush, I reckon. Mushroom's turn comes later.
Sit up and pay attention to me, Nancy. The Wuthers sometimes have staying duty to perform. Sister, I have words for you.
Can't you see I'm in no state?
Immediately, madam. This very instant. You are not ignorant that your husband took you without a fortune. You know, too, that by the marriage articles, upon a separation or your husband's death, you are entitled to only £100 a year. Now, madam, I am commissioned to inform you that the doors are open and that the stipulated sum will be paid punctually. For know that neither your husband's love, my affection, nor a residence in this house can be enjoyed by you another hour, but on the hard condition of a thorough reformation.
You're telling me...
If female vanity will be mad, husbands must be peremptory. I used that line in court once. The judge commended it. The sums of money you have squandered and those you have been cheated of by your female friends. That is the least offence in your husband's judgment. It is your pride, your midnight revels, insolence of taste, rage of precedency that grieve him. For they have made you the ridicule of every flirt and coxcomb and the scorn and pity of every sober person that knows your folly. This reflects disgrace upon your friends, contempt upon the spirit and credit of your husband, and has furnished whispering suspicion with stories and implications.
Whispering suspicion with stories and implications?
Which have secretly fixed an infectious stain upon your chastity.
My chastity? I defy the world. I care not what slander says. I will rely upon my innocence. That was a bit hasty, wasn't it?
It is not sufficient to rely on innocence alone, madam. Women must not only be innocent, they must appear so too. This play was written over 200 years ago. Times, unfortunately, have changed.
I don't know what you mean by all this, brother. I beg you will explain.
I will. Know then that the coxcomb Mushroom? Took some hints your liberty had given him.
I gave him hints? Brother, you...
And, like a true man of intrigue, not only returns your hints with a letter of gallantry, but bribes your own woman to deliver it.
Catty! I turn her out.
But the maid, instead of carrying the letter to you, delivers that and many others to her master.
To dear Mora? Oh, the bitch.
Who, in your name, hand, style, and sentiment, has answered them all and carried on an amorous correspondence with the gentleman.
Mushroom.
Even up to an assignation. And now, at this very instant, the spark is preparing for that happy interview.
With my husband? Oh, Tom,
with you, sister. Not only that, but he has made the whole town confident of his good fortune.
Oh, Lord.
Now, judge what your husband, your brother, and your friends must think of her whose conduct could entitle a coxcomb to such liberties.
I shall make no defense, brother. The story shocks me. Help me. Advise me. Well, I'm caught, haven't I? Only say what I shall do to be revenged upon this fellow for his impudence, and what will convince my husband and you, Tom, and all the world of my innocence. And I will do it. Oh, Tom, you have given such a stirring to my heart, and such a trouble and a trembling as it never felt before.
It is the stirring of virtue, sister.
It is?
Encourage it.
Oh, I will, I will.
For tears of repentance are the brightest ornaments a modern lady can be decked in.
Wouldn't he give you an ache and a jerkin?
I shall be in here, Catty. I shall be in here. At the moment he makes a move, bring me word.
Oh, I shall, sir.
It's Mr. Jiggerty. Oh, brother, I'm ashamed to face him.
Well, Tom, have you spoken to her?
There she is, sir. Bathed in tears of humility and repentance, as she should be.
Oh, you've gone too far, brother. You shouldn't have made her cry. Oh. Nancy, child, turn round and don't be crying there.
I'm ashamed to look you in the face, sir.
Have I been here, brother? I assure you, you should not have made her cry.
My errors, I acknowledge.
Oh, Nancy.
And for the future, it will be the business of my life
No more. No, not another word. No more. If you've settled everything with your brother here, that is sufficient. All right. Turn around and give me a kiss. Let us be friends at once. There. In that kiss now, let all tears and uneasiness subside in you, as all fears and resentment shall die in me.
I must have my kiss of peace, too. I own I have been a little severe with you, but your disease did require sharp medicine.
Now, Nancy, I have a favour or two to beg of you.
Command the Murrah.
Now, the first thing I ask is that you sack that French cook and let us have the food that every ordinary Irishman has.
He goes tomorrow. Back to the frying pan.
Then, let us be rid of your London English, with your Neems and your Teasties and your Weasleys and your Immensleys.
They're dispensed with now.
And above all things, pray never again call me Diggerty. My name is Murrow O'Doherty, and I am not ashamed of it. But that damned name, Diggerty, my dear, it dements me.
Then upon my honour, Murrah O'Doherty, you'll never be demented again. That wasn't too bad after all, was it?
Mr. Mushroom is on his way up, sir.
In my lady's clothes?
What's this?
Yes, sir.
Mushroom, in my clothes?
And looking very pretty, madam.
Has he gone suddenly? Soufflé.
Gone what?
You know, soufflé.
In other words, made fluffy with beaten egg whites and then heated in an oven until it pops up.
Mushroom? Soufflé? Oh, not that toadstool. Catty, detain him for a moment.
Sir.
You go to your room. I'll come and instruct you how to behave.
Anything to be avenged on that pup.
Now, leave me with him, Tom. We mustn't prevent that man from making me a cuckold.
Be sure you make the gentleman smart.
I'll make him smart, all right. And smarter. Impudent rascal, to make a cuckold of an Irishman, take our own trade out of our own hands, and a branch of business we pride ourselves so much in, too. Why, sure, that and the manufacture of linen are the only free trades we have. Soufflé. Never heard that term before.
I protest, I should not have known you, sir.
Don't you think I make a handsome woman, Mrs. Catty?
You are a perfect beauty, sir. Madam. I go and see if the coast is clear, and tell my mistress you are come.
Tell her my soul is all rapture, ecstasy, and transport, and rides upon the wings of love. A man must speak nonsense to these critters, or they will not believe he loves them. Trouble is, all these Irish women love me. I'll have more intrigues in this country than I shall know what to do with. Old Diggity here, when I tire of her, I bring her across to England and bequeath her to my Lord Oldcastle. Oh, my angel, my goddess!
It's not. Is it? Count Mushroom!
The same. All a quiver. Oh, my delight.
But if my husband should discover you?
Love despises all dangers when such beauty as yours is the prize. Catty, see you are not distracted. Come to me. Now. Now.
But your attire, Count. Can your passion be sincere?
Dear creature, do but lay your hand upon my heart here. Here.
Ooh.
Feel what an alarm of love and gratitude it beats. Now, madam, let's retire to your chamber. We may be interrupted here.
You can't speak to her now, sir.
Pray, why not?
It's Mira. Oh, Doggerty. Oh, Mira. Oh, Diggerty.
Oh, God.
Because she is ill, sir.
Oh, all the more reason I must see her.
Oh, Mr. Soufflé. I am deeply compromised.
Mr. Who?
Oh, madam, run down the back stairs, quick.
A jukes, me dear.
Run.
And I'm going too.
Oh, no, you're not, sir.
Let go of me, Mrs. Catty.
Oh, hold on a second, sir.
Let me go, Catty.
You're safer here, sir.
What are you doing, woman?
Protecting you, sir.
Oh, Catty, please.
You and your lady mustn't be seen together.
Excellent thinking.
Leave it all to me. You stay here. I put out the candles. He will take you for my mistress.
But if he...
pretends to be very ill. Mimic a fine lady that has the vapors or the colic.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Ah, you're in the dark, my dear. Why is that?
My mistress is very ill and cannot bear the light.
Oh? What's her complaint?
The
colic.
Oh, there's no cure in the dark, Catty. Light the candles.
No. No candles. No lights, dear. Please, no lights.
She has a headache, as well as the vapors.
And the colic.
And lights increase the headache and the colic.
And the vapors.
Let her sit in the dark and she'll be well soon. Are you feeling better now, madam?
Oh, a great deal, but no lights, please. No lights.
Well, if you prefer no lights, my sweet, then you will have no lights.
Thank you, my dear.
Catty, leave us. I have some special business with your mistress.
Special business?
Very intimate business, my soul.
Ooh, very good, sir.
Don't leave, Catty. I have the colic, sir, and the vapors, sir. And, sir, I have a very bad headache. Catty!
Now, my dear, I want to talk to you about something that has given me utmost unease.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, indeed, the utmost torture of my mind. My dear... I am jealous.
Jealous?
As are half the husbands of the town. And all occasioned by one man. That coxcomb Mushroom.
He is a very great coxcomb indeed.
And a great jackanapes.
Oh, yeah, they're huge jackanapes, my dear. An enormous jackanapes.
And a popinjay.
Mushroom. Oh, yes, yes, a popinjay. And a mountebank.
And a poltroon.
Oh, and a varlet and a malapert and a macaroni. Oh, what a macaroni.
In other words, a fop. A dandy.
Mushroom the macaroni.
Oh, that's good. And a libertine, would you say?
Well, indeed, I would say a libertine. And a charlatan. And the colic and the vapors and a headache. Oh, how I despise the man.
Do you, my dear?
Oh, thoroughly. Without qualification.
No, I must own the fellow has something genteel in him.
Oh, yes, my dear. He is a very pretty fellow. That all the world allows.
But his prettiness will be his ruin.
Will it?
For as he makes it his business and his boast to win the affection of women everywhere he goes, and as he has made conquests of several married women in this town...
No, they're mere gossip, my dear. They always blab, the bitches.
There are half a dozen husbands of us that have agreed...
agreed?
To poison him.
Poison? But that would be murder, my dear.
It will. But before we get to that... One of our company has vowed that if Mushroom ever enters this house again, he will put 10 inches of cold iron into the rascal's bowels.
Bowels?
Can you imagine?
I can. I can. Oh, God, I can.
As for you, my dear, if I ever catch the fellow ogling you, following you around...
What? An old bat like me?
Even smiling at you, I will put the lining of this... little pistol into the very middle of his skull.
Oh, no.
Oh, why are you all of a tremor, my soul?
I'm ill, dear sir.
Oh, you have the shaking ache. You're all in a cold sweat.
Mighty, mighty ill, sir.
Oh, indeed you are. Caddy! Caddy! Oh, you must have help immediately.
Yes.
Caddy. Send for Mr. Carnage, the surgeon.
Huh?
He must bleed my wife at once.
Mr. Carnage? Yes, sir.
And fetch Dr. Philgrave, too.
Dr. Philgrave, sir?
Tell him my wife is very ill and must be thoroughly blistered.
I'm feeling better already.
What the hell shall I do now? I'll certainly be discovered.
How are you now, my dear?
Oh, better. Better. A great deal.
Splendid. Look, I'll have you bled plentifully and 10 good rousing blisters laid on by way of prevention. Now, I'll leave you now, my dear. Just lie still and rest until the medical men come. When I'm finished with him, he'll be cured forever of trespassing upon matrimonial premises.
Oh, God. I wish I were out of this damned country. I've often heard of the wild Irish, but never believed it until now. Savages, barbarians. Poison a man for merely having an intrigue with his wife. We never mind such things in England.
No lights, please. No lights, no lights.
It's only me, sir, and Mrs. Digger today. Oh,
if you don't get me out of this damned house, madam, I'm a dead man.
I'm distracted. I can't think. My husband suspects that
I suspect you. He's going to shoot me. Help me.
Tell him. Tell him you came here in that disguise. Mm-hmm. Just to give him a laugh.
Just to give him a... Oh, the woman's an idiot. Mrs. Catty, help me, please. I have got to get out of this place now.
The portmanteau trunk.
Huh?
You might be able to fit into it.
Anything, anything. Dear Mrs. Catty, my life is in your hands. If I escape from this damned country, my dear, I promise you you'll never see...
Oh,
excellent, Mrs. Catty. The very thing.
Get in. Hurry up. My master's coming.
Will I fit?
Quick, quick.
Put in my clothes. Grab me in. Buckle me up.
No.
Will I have enough air? Very well. Excellent. Well, Mrs. Catty. It will do. Snug.
Snug, damn snug.
What are you doing with that portmanteau?
Nothing, sir. We're just,
What have you got in there?
Oh, it's only,
Now speak this minute or I'll put me sword up to the hilt in it.
Hold, my dear Diggity.
Who's that?
It's I.
I? Who is I?
It's a mushroom. Your friend, Mushroom.
What's the coxcomb up to now?
It's the Count. Your friend, the Count.
The Count, indeed. Or is it the Countess?
Is he going on his holidays?
I can explain everything, Diggity.
I'm sure you can.
No.
And I'll give you every opportunity.
No, help.
But we have invited half the town in tonight. And they all want to peep at you.
Here,
give me a hand here. He's got to be transported downstairs to greet our guests.
That's it. You're killing me.
Careful there. That's a valuable parcel, and we've got to keep him healthy at least for a few more hours. And that's the end of our story. How Count Mushroom made himself an object for a farce. But then, if every fine lady and every coxcomb in this town were turned into a farce, we'd be the merriest people in all Europe. But ours is over for tonight. Indeed, I think it's fairly ended. The coxcomb's punished, the fine Irish lady's mended.
For the time being.
And that was The London Vertigo by Brian Friel.
A.K.A. The True-Born Irishman by Cathal Macklin, Mr.
Or The Irish Fine Lady by Charles McLaughlin, Esquire.
With Mr. Bosco Hogan as...
Morrow O'Doherty, I am not ashamed of it.
And Mrs. Catherine Brennan as...
Oh, I forgot. What's me name?
Nancy O'Doherty, nay Gallagher.
Madame de Gerté, the beauteous Diggity, Venus herself.
Mr. Malcolm Douglas was Count Morris Mushroom.
Adieu, au revoir, I shall serve you, rely upon me.
Mr. Frank Kelly played...
Hamilton, Thomas Tom Hamilton, barrister at law.
And Deirdre Monaghan played I, Mrs. Cathy, Mrs. Audio presentation was by Aidan O'Doul.
Mr. Aidan Doyle.
Sound effects by Ronan McHugh.
Ronan, good Irish name.
And Aidan Matthews.
One tea or two.
Produced The London Vertigo by Brian Friel.